Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,600 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Harrison Viers Newberry, author of The Rise of Human Perception, Path to Ascension and Soul Consciousness. Since the time of the flood, 12,500 years ago, humanity has lived under the intentional installation of a 3D reality. This was done very gradually, inserting ideals that have resulted in false beliefs. The result has shifted our perception of life and reality. We are now evolving out of this dense frequency and now in the fourth density. Harrison Viers Newberry has been a truth seeker of answers for decades. His questions are one we all ask at some point in life. He reveals the results to readers of his books. For 40 years, he has traveled many paths seeking enlightenment, answers, and understanding. He walked the journey of a shaman for years, which took him high in the Andes Mountains in Peru to the deep Amazon jungles. For more information, you can visit his Instagram, which is Harrison Viers, and then it's Instagram, Harrison Viers, V-I-E-R-S. You can see him there. So with that, welcome to the show, Harrison, or should I call you Harry?
Either one is fine.
Okay. That's like my Robert and Bob.
That's right.
Yeah. So, excuse me.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you today.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to talking to you because your book has so many topics in it that it's... you know, people will not be bored, certainly, reading your book.
Well, my goal is to help people to awaken and become enlightened and learn the true facts of life, not everything we've been told. Although good intention, much of what we've been told and programmed to believe is incorrect. And that's led us into the chaos the world is in today.
Yeah. It certainly is chaotic and getting more and more so. So what inspired you to write The Rise of Human Perception?
Well, it was a sequence. My first book was Shining Bear, which was a story of my earlier life and tragedies that befell me and how I entered into, it shifted my trajectory in life from more of a traditional one to a search for truth and answers and enlightenment. And then I wrote Imminent Shift, which is a veritable encyclopedia. It contains the most information probably on the shift that's happening and the big one that's coming and on our connection with our cosmic visitors, other civilizations in the galaxy. And Rise of Human Perception came about was because I realized that we needed to awaken to our perception. Yeah, we say perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that the 3D, which the D is for density, which refers to consciousness, of which that's what we are. We're all consciousness.
You know, I wanted to kind of also look deeper into that, with the density versus dimension, because throughout the book you refer to it most of the time is densities. So That gives me a different picture mentally when I hear density and when I hear dimensions. They seem to be different, very different.
Well, they are different. It's been called wrongfully densities we've referred to as the third dimension, fifth dimension. Scientists even do the same thing, refer to it as dimension. But density is more, or dimensions are more related to mathematical terms. And density is related to consciousness. It's tied strictly to consciousness.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to really get that clarified because, you know, you, again, throughout your books, you refer to it as densities.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's one that people need to be aware of because we're, you know, it's another one of those ways we've been misinformed. It's not a big deal, but it's significant.
That was one thing as I was going through and reading your book that I found very interesting, is that there's a lot of non-judgment in the book. It's like, you know, I'm just, this is kind of what I see and what it's like. And there's, you know, no, you know, idea to try and sway things one way or another as far as one's beliefs.
Well, what we believe, our beliefs are, have somewhat imprisoned us. We say that love is blind, and we all know this. I mean, yeah, I had a good friend who fell in love with a woman, and, you know, it was obvious that she was not what she was presenting herself as being. And all of his family and friends, everyone tried to tell him, but he married her, and it turned out to be a disaster. She was everything that he did not want. Love is blind. Yeah.
Mm.
Our beliefs blind us. Our religious beliefs, for example, you know, we go to war over them. You know, murdering in the name of God to me is the biggest oxymoron in history. You know,
I have to agree with you on that.
You know, and but people get so trapped in their beliefs that when someone presents evidence that is overwhelming evidence, they become enraged because they react out of fear. It's all fear. They're afraid they might have to change or that might shake their foundation. And I understand that. I grew up with traditional beliefs myself. Yeah, but there were certain things that just never added up to me. You know, everything that I've learned and know and feel and sense about God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that Jesus Christ taught was love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. Forgiveness of others, yet we carry resentment to the grave, some of us, and non-judgment. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Now, who could argue the meaning of that?
I know. Makes it kind of clear, doesn't it?
But yet, look at what our churches do and teach us to do. I mean, they'll kick someone out who they consider a sinner. The people that probably need to be in the church more than anyone there, they won't allow them admission because of harsh judgment on others. You know, it's easy to see flaws and faults in other people, but try to look in the mirror.
Now, we talked a little bit about, or you referenced the shift. So can you explain to listeners what is the shift, you know, maybe what was one or what will be one?
Well, good question. And it's a fairly broad topic, but to be concise, when I speak of the shift, I'm really speaking of the shift in human consciousness. But to do that, we must raise our perception. and their perception has been suppressed to the 3D. We've all lived in the third density for thousands of years, 12,500 to be fairly precise. And this was done artificially. And I tell the story of how all of this came about in Revelations, but essentially they suppressed our frequency of vibration. We all vibrate at a given level. Our individual vibration is as unique to us as our fingerprints or as our DNA. But we all, as humans, we fall into a given range. But the extraterrestrials vibrate at a higher frequency. And this was the origin of the technology that was developed to measure human frequencies, well, frequencies of life in general. It began during the Reagan administration when they came to realize that there were many hybrids living on Earth, and they feared them, that they might be here for, you know, ulterior motives. So they set forth to design a mechanism, a meter, if you will, that would measure frequencies. And we need to raise our frequency to match what the rest of the universe is, which is 5D. We've been in the 3D. Everything outside of our Van Allen radiation belts is in the 5D. That's why we can't see the UFOs that are circling in orbit of Earth right now, because they're in the 5D. The way I explain this, and I did this in the book, with frequencies, you walk into a room and you see a ceiling fan. Let's say it has four blades. You can see them clearly. But turn the fan on and turn it on higher, and it becomes blurred. And you can't tell how many blades it has. Or imagine you're at a racetrack and a car, a race car, is going 250 miles an hour. As it passes before you, it's a blur. You can't see the occupant, the driver. But if you got into another car and drove the exact same speed, as you pulled alongside of that car, not only could you see the driver, but it would appear stopped. Why? Because you have matched the frequency. It would be identical. And it's like with a ceiling fan. You can't see it once it's turned on high because it's going at a higher frequency. So we can't see above, or we hadn't been able to see above the 3D. We could see 1, 2, and 3. And now the magnetics of Earth have been turned up, and we're now at the lower 4D. And our visitors are helping us to ascend to the 5D, when we will then automatically know the truth of life and everything. And we are rising. People can sense it. Things are speeding up. People are having emotions they never had before. I mean, I don't go onto Facebook, but I understand there's people that are just baring their soul on Facebook, telling things that they would normally have never revealed to anyone. It's because the magnetics have shifted, and all that hidden, the secrets and shames, embarrassments are coming loose, and people don't know what to do with it.
Okay, so now you mentioned that we're basically in the 3 density, some limited kinds of experience with 4. How, you know, we were talking about is basically raising the consciousness raising global consciousness. So will the transition to the next, the shift to the next, density, will that be like happening with individuals and then finally, you get to that point of where it's the majority versus, the majority have that kind of experience? Is that kind of how the humanity is going to work its way through that?
Yes, people want change, but they're afraid. The way you raise your frequency is to choose love over fear. See, fear is a dark, dense energy. Long, long ago, a man said there's only two emotions. And when I heard that, I thought, oh man, you're out of your mind. But what he was referring to is we live in a world of duality. It's a law of the universe. For everything, there's a polar opposite. We are energy. Everyone. We're just energy vibrating. Photons of light vibrating at a certain frequency. Now, electricity is energy. You have to have a positive charge and a negative charge or it doesn't flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way with everything. You have to know what up is to know what down is. You have to know hot to know cold. They're two polar opposites. Male and female is the greatest polarity of all, as has been said. And with emotions, there's two polar opposites, love and fear. This is why I never got it with the religions, because it's supposed to be about love, but yet right. They fear to control us.
I've been noticing in the day-to-day kinds of conversations that fear is heavily promoted, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our news, our media is all controlled by the cabal, the evil ones and the reptilians, and it's designed to hold us in fear. I heard that in a movie years ago, and it was kind of a joke, and the guy that said it was kind of laughed at, but it turned out it's true.
Yeah.
It's all true. But think about this. You can't feel love and feel hate at the same time. You can't do it. You can't feel angry, enraged, and feel love at the same time. Fear manifests itself in many ways, just as love does. Love is happiness, joy, compassion, empathy, whereas fear is most commonly anger, rage, violence, greed. Our egos push it, wars. Nothing generates more fear than wars. And we've had one war after another. And these wars, the root of the wars, have been traced back. I don't know how they did this, but I believe them. They said they traced it back and they found that the evil race of reptilians that have been controlling us are at the root of every single one. Now, how they found that, I don't know. I'd be very curious, but I don't doubt that it's the truth.
Yeah. One of the topics that you talk about in your book is the idea of baggage, and that basically traumas and deep hurts and hanging on to resentments, which you talked about just a few minutes ago. Is that something that baggage kind of...
It's a precondition to evolve and raise our vibration. We can't take our baggage with us into the fifth dimension. You have to let go of your resentments and your angers, and your secrets will definitely keep you sick.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening as a part of this shift that is now taking place. The magnetics have changed. As we are energy, we are electromagnetic beings. Everything is electromagnetic. That's what controls all of us. And as the magnetics have begun to shift and we've moved into the fourth density, what was holding all those resentment, all that shame, all those secrets in our inner consciousness has released it, and it's coming loose, to put it very, in a very elementary way. And people are having to look at it and face it. You know, you're sitting down and all of a sudden you start thinking about a divorce or something that happened 20 years ago. It's like out of nowhere. Where did that come from? And if you just say, it's going away now and turn to the right, it will disappear.
That's interesting. So now, when it comes time for us to prepare ourselves or maybe even help the process along, what are some of the things that we should consider? I noticed that in one part of the book you talked about, you know, the importance of positive affirmations and changing subconscious behaviors.
Yes. Well, the only way that we will prepare ourselves is to take a journey within. Earlier we talked about judgment, and I said try looking in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What I meant was go within. Look within yourself. Know thyself. This has been a tradition and a saying that's been around for thousands of years. In ancient Greece, over the top of the Temple of Delphi is an engraving that says, know thyself. Yeah, if you're looking at everyone else, which is what we've been trained to do,
mm-hmm.
You'll never, ever know thyself. You have to go within. If you get angry, and we all do from time to time, but when I get angry over something, the first thing I ask myself is, what am I afraid of? How am I threatened by this or that person,
mm-hmm.
whatever? And then self-honesty is critical. It's the key. I learned this, and I talked about this in my first book, Shining Bear. It was the most profound thing I think I ever learned, was that the key to success in life and happiness is the practice of rigorous self-honesty. And I saw this. It was revealed to me when I was in the Amazon jungle on a spiritual journey in the other world. And it was crystal clear. I mean, I can't describe it because there's no language that will describe anything from the spirit world, but I knew that it was true. And yeah, I kept going on the next day. I can't believe it. It's so simple. And my friend that was with me said, what is so simple? And I said, life is so simple. We just have to be honest with ourselves. Now, that sounds like to some people, a joke, a laughable comment. But try practicing self-honesty. And it is so freeing.
Yeah, now, when you get that little insight of some, you know, honest kind of and feedback in a way, I think it's important to do that in a non-judgmental way. I mean, because sometimes that brutal honesty can be, I mean, it's good to know it, you know, and it's good to be able to have an awareness of it. But it kind of just occurred in order to bring your awareness to that as an issue.
Well, it all connects. Everything is connected. And the judgment that you brought up a few times now, yeah, we talk about judging other people,
mm-hmm.
which is something we have to cease and desist. But it's not just other people. It's judging everything as good or bad. Imagine you bought a raffle ticket on a car that if you could have any car you wanted, maybe a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, and you won the raffle, you got that car. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, most of them say, oh, man, I'd love it.
Right.
But imagine 6 months later when you finally, the new wears off of it, and you let a loved one drive it, your spouse or your child or your parent. And they're going down the road. Turns out there's a factory defect in it. And the front right wheel comes off. They hit a wall and they're killed or they're left paralyzed for the rest of their life. Now, was that car, winning that car, a good thing or a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
You ruined the day you won that car.
Exactly.
No, we don't know. You take life on life's terms as it comes. And we're just here to experience. Judging is not just judging others. It's also the worst judgment I ever placed on anyone. It's the judgment I placed on myself.
Right. Right.
That's the hardest to let go now, in my experience. And I had to let that go. And it took some years for me to do that. And I hadn't done anything that society would say was horrible, but I thought it.
Right, right. It's, oh gosh. Guilt, you said?
Yes, we have to let go of the guilt and the judgment of self and accept that everything that's ever happened in our life is just experience. And it's about what we learn from that experience and how we can grow and evolve. On the experience we've had. But how many of us will allow a negative thing that occurs to ruin our day, ruin our year, maybe ruin our life?
Yeah. In your book, you talk about if one finds themselves thinking or saying anything negative, to do like cancel, or cancel clear, just to be able to reframe the thinking.
Yes. You know, the brain is like a hard drive on a computer. It's a receiver. It's not who we are. It's not the dominant organ in the body, as we've all thought. In 1991, I believe it was, a French researcher discovered that the human heart has some 40,000 sensory neurons. These are brain cells. Just like the ones in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is far more powerful. These cells are said to be hundreds of times more powerful than the same looking, similar looking sensory nerves in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And we emanate energy from our heart. Now, scientists have shown that there's a field of energy coming off of our heart that they've measured out to about 8 feet from our body. And another scientist said, well, how do you know that it stops there? And he said, we don't. We just don't have the technology to measure it any further. It may go over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the energy coming off of our heart. Our brain does, you know, there's energy coming from our brain as well, but not anywhere near as big as our heart or as powerful as the energy coming from our heart. Now, if we could bond the heart with the brain, we gain deep intuition on demand. It will enhance our memory exponentially, our thinking, our ability to heal ourselves. And a way has been designed to do this. It's very simple. It takes 3 days for this to take place if you do it correctly. You begin by getting your focus on your heart. And you can do that by placing a hand right over the center of your heart. And the touch, your focus will go where the touch is. Slow your breathing down. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. 5 seconds in breathe, in breath, 5 second exhale. And then think of gratitude, what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
What you love, what you like. 3 minutes. 3 minutes this exercise.
Wow.
And 3 days, you will establish a neural link between your heart and your head.
Wonderful for people to be able to do that. Now, we're kind of winding down on time, Harrison, so I want to just kind of wrap up a little bit with the rise of human perception. What is it you hope that readers will take away from reading The Rise?
Well, my main, you know, the hope that I have, and it's what I try to do and what we all must do, is avoid fear and any manifestation of fear to raise our perception. Because every time we fall into fear, whether it's anger, rage, frustration, judgment, or any of those, greed, it lowers, we become dense.
Yeah.
Not light. Think of when you're in love, you're light. You feel light and happy and joy. How would you like to feel that way all the time?
That's very attractive.
That's where we're trying to get to and where we are going to go.
Okay. But
do it from within. We've got to turn our attention into ourselves. And quit paying so much attention to what others are doing. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying stop paying attention to other people or what's going on around you.
Right. Right.
Keep your focus within yourself and avoid feeling the fear. I mean, I'm not talking about stuffing your feelings. If you get angry, don't stuff it. Let it out, but then be
right.
Done.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Revelations, that was the last in the series. It's Revelations, Greatest Secrets in Human History. So can you just give us maybe, or the listeners, a kind of a quick overview of what's contained in the book, should they want to go ahead and get that and The Rise?
Revelations contains information that blew me absolutely away. It comes from communication with a race of people from the Pleiades star system that are here and have been here. Written communication, by the way, not through a medium or any of that stuff. You know, this is written.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, I explain how we came to be in the 3D artificially, how it was done from the moon, and how the Van Allen radiation belts came into being, and the whys of all of this. Our movies, Star Wars, that many of us love so much. I heard a man say they're basically documentaries on our history.
Mm.
Only it wasn't a galaxy far, far away.
Somewhere closer.
Right here in our solar system. You remember in the Star Wars movie when the Death Star blew up a planet?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't happen that way exactly. That's Hollywood. But there was a planet between Mars and Saturn called Tiamat. It was a large planet, and it was a water planet. And it was blown up by the Federation of Planets as they were in a horrible fight, war with the reptilians, and they ended up nuking Mars. And
that's a big mistake.
Yeah, well, they were desperate to end the war. They just could not continue. But the reptilians had been on Earth already for thousands of years. This is their headquarters. And it was also, in another timeline, the headquarters of the Federation, which we're now finding the evidence of beneath the Giza Plateau.
Wow.
And it's all still down there. It's all still there. And they found a bunch of it. And it's come out in the news recently. But it tells the story of how the reptilians when they were trapped here, the Van Allen radiation belts were put into place to keep the reptilians in because all their spacecraft were destroyed and they couldn't escape either. But what they did do, as the Federation turned their back on them and planned to come back and straighten things out, but it's been 12,500 years due to several circumstances, the reptilians began to control us by installing false ideas and beliefs. Now, think about 12,500 years ago. We're talking about the time of the Great Flood, and much of the water of the Great Flood came from the planet Tiamat. It came here in the form of ice. The earth tilted, and we lost a lot of surface land areas on the planet, like Atlantis, and the continent Mu that they talk about. But they trapped them here, and they kind of didn't pay it close attention. And when they came back and saw all this fear, this chaos, they initially thought we'd done it to ourselves, in which case they couldn't interfere. But then they through the investigation, they saw what had happened. It was done by the reptilians. And now there's many, many civilizations here, trying to help us in our ascension. Have you heard about the 31 Atlas Comet?
Oh, I've read a little bit about that.
Well, many people have figured out it's not a comet, it's actually a galactic ship, and it is. And they're communicating with us. And they're a collective from different star systems. Book, I tell you where we are from, where our ancestors came from in the galaxy, from the Lyra constellation.
Wow. You know, we're running out of time here, Harrison. So do you have any maybe final words that you would like to share with listeners?
My goal is only one thing. I have no ulterior motives. It's to help people to awaken. Because whether you want it or not, it's coming. You know, things are changing. The shift is upon us. And our time is running out. 2027 has come up many, many times. I don't know if that's the year or if it's before then or after then, but it's imminent. The shift is imminent. And if we're not prepared, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
And to be prepared, we've got to first awaken, and we need knowledge. The most powerful thing in the universe is knowledge.
Absolutely. Well,
that's
Harrison, we need to go. I'm sure we can just talk for hours and hours, with all of those topics, for sure. I will be following you on Instagram so that we can keep in touch via that. And for listeners, do check out Harrison on Instagram. His handle is Harrison Viers, V-I-E-R-S. And check him out and follow him there.
And my books are available on Amazon.
Yeah, the books are all on Amazon, absolutely. And if you're interested in the series, it started with Shining Bear, goes to Imminent Shift, there to the Rise of Human Perception, and then capping off with Revelation. So, Harrison, thank you for your time.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Again, everyone, in closing, I want to thank you for listening for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.